the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower. Given the recent drop in the stock market, where all of this year's stock market gains have disappeared, and where bond investors are seeing their bond funds drop and dividends cut, we've had several emails from listeners about what they can do to protect capital and income. And that is the topic of this week's show. And Jim, the major market indexes, which were up high single digits or double digits for the year, have given back all or most of those gains since the beginning of the month. We just had Halloween, and investors have been spooked and scared. You know, you wake up one day in October, and you think you're rich. And then now, given the heavy selling of the last month, you think you're poor. So it doesn't matter where you're invested. Stocks, bonds, commodities, they've all fallen this month. So if you listen to the weekend show, we don't believe we've begun a bear market. And we don't believe we're close to heading into a recession. But we do believe that we're at the beginning of the end, a market topping process that can take months or a few quarters to play out. So if you're listening now and you're nearing retirement or close to retirement, you do need to think about protecting income and capital. So, Jim, what do you think listeners, what do they do when they see stock markets gyrate between 500 and 800 points in a single day?
Well, you know, just getting back to Halloween, it just seems like, Chris, that high we reached in October looked like a trick, not a treat. And the first thing, you know, you need to think about, what are their risk controls for managing risk and protecting capital? It's, you know, you don't think about this when stocks are going up like they were for most of the summer until recently at the beginning of October. But they should be definitely on the defensive side. I forget, somebody once said that when it comes to football, defense wins championships. And that means not only diversifying their portfolio, but also how they diversify their portfolio. Because if you look at the typical diversified mix, as most advisors recommend, and we call it the 60-40 rule, meaning 60% of your portfolio in stocks, 40% in bonds. That isn't working anymore, and that's significant. It did not work in the correction that began in February, and it did not work in this recent downturn. And we don't think it's likely to work in the future in the next bear market as interest rates rise as the Fed continues to raise them. So that's one. Secondly, the Treasury is going to have to raise nearly $1.4 trillion this year in the bond market to basically finance the deficits. At the same time, the Fed is cutting back its bond buying by $600 billion a year. So a very important buyer of bonds that maintained interest rates low, maintained the price of bonds, that buyer is absent the market. Another buyer, the Chinese, are absent the market, especially with this trade dispute between the president and China. So here's the thing. We normally have an average of 10% corrections since World War II. We've averaged a 10% correction about once every 2 years. This year so far, we've already experienced two 10% corrections. So the markets are getting more volatile, which is what you're starting to see when you begin a market topping process while the Fed is raising interest rates. Now, typically in this long recovery, bonds have always rallied. If you go back to 2009, when this bull market began and when the economic recovery began, anytime you had a pullback, whether it was the flash crash in 2010, whether it was almost a bear market in 2011 when the markets were down almost 20%, you had another severe correction in the summer of 2015, you had another one in 2016, the first 6 weeks of the year, Chris, that 60-40 diversification rule worked very well because while stocks were coming down, if you were in bond funds, your bond funds were going up. So they helped to protect and cushion some of the fall. But what you're starting to see is right now in this recent correction, and also, as I mentioned, the one we had in February, bond prices and yields did not rally. And let me put this in perspective. We started out the year with a yield on 10-year treasuries at roughly a little over 2.4%. They got as high as 3.25%. Currently, we're a little over 3.1%. And there's further indication based on the press conference accompanying the FOMC meeting in the futures market that more rate hikes are coming in the future, most likely another one that will come in December. That's only a month away. So income investors are more likely to experience more pain, and that pain could get much worse if we head into a bear market as rates rise and stock prices fall.
Okay, so I think we've got the attention of our listeners on this. So given those likely probabilities, Jim, the obvious question, what should listeners be doing? I mean, they obviously want to protect capital and income. I'm thinking especially of those listeners who are retired and they need their income from their investments to live off of. What should they be doing?
Well, let's talk about where most investors have put their money, which is a bond fund or a bond ETF. The bulk, in literally trillions of dollars after 2009, went into bond funds. I mean, when the stock market lost nearly 60% of its value, if you can think back at 2008 and 2009, every single week, the Treasury was coming out with some kind of bailout program. You were seeing large institutions from AIG to Merrill Lynch to Lehman Brothers to Bear Stearns going under, going into bankruptcy, if not being put together or bought out by other companies to save them. Investors were scared, so they put their money in bond funds. And Chris, that worked up until recently. It didn't work as well as the stock market because the stock market is up 300%. Bond funds aren't up like that. But investors were scared. They needed income, so they went into bond funds because remember, in 2008, and all the way up till recently, interest rates were brought down to zero, and the Fed brought rates down, and we experienced globally the lowest interest rates in nearly 5,000 years of history. So as interest rates rise, as they've been doing since 2016, investors in bond funds are losing money as rates go up. The other aspect of a bond fund, or let's say a bond ETF, is the income is not protected. Think what happened to bond fund investors this last decade as interest rates fell to their lowest point in history. Government bond funds have been hit the hardest as Treasury yields bottomed in the summer of 2016. Corporate bond funds, up until this year, held up much better, but they too are down this year, and they'll probably lose more as we get closer into a recession. Typically, corporate bond funds hold up better because when the Fed starts raising interest rates, it impacts short-term rates, especially in government securities. If the economy is still doing well and growing as it's been doing, corporate bonds tend to hold up better. But as you get closer to the end of a business cycle and you're getting closer to a recession, that's when corporate bonds begin to underperform because when you go into recession, what happens? Sales go down, profits go down, and risk go up for owning corporate bonds. And so you usually start to see yield spreads widen between treasuries and corporates, and that's what we're beginning to see now. So the traditional role of, let's say, diversification or the standard industry rule of 60-40 split is not working today. We believe we have begun a new secular long-term bear market in bonds, similar to the one that began in the late 1950s and went all the way to 1981. So rising rates are ahead of us, and that is going to hurt bond funds and long-term bond prices. It's one reason we prefer owning individual bonds that are short-term. Number one, it allows us, our clients and investors, to capture rising interest rates as there is very little difference today between a short-term bond, which will protect your principal, and long-term bonds. Let me give you an example. A three-month Treasury bill has a yield a little over 2.3%, and that will rise with each new Fed rate hike, with the next one coming next month. A two-year Treasury note has a yield of 2.85 compared to, let's say, a 10-year note, and a 30-year bond, which have yields of 3.1 and 3.36. So you're capturing almost 80 to 90% of the yield of a long-term bond without the risk that happens to long-term bonds, because as interest rates rise, the longer the maturity, the greater the capital loss. So as rates rise, as they're doing now, and the Fed continues to raise interest rates, those yields will rise. And instead of bond funds, which have been reducing dividends, so that's the other thing that you want to do. As the Fed continues to raise interest rates, if you're in short-term maturities, let's say the Fed raises interest rates in December another quarter of a point, you're going to see three-month T-bills go up to over 2.5, 2.6%. More importantly, you're not losing principal as you are now doing in a bond fund or a bond ETF. We also like having a laddered bond portfolio. That's one way that you can protect principal, but also capture rising income, because every year you have bonds that mature. So if you take a look at, going back 3 years when the Fed began to raise interest rates in 2015, if you have bonds that are maturing every year, as those bonds mature, you can roll them over into higher interest paying bonds. And that way, you're protecting your capital, but you're also protecting your income. In fact, your income is going up. So in a rising interest rate market, as we have now, and this is something that it's going to take some getting used to. When I got in the business, Chris, I got in the business late 1979, 1980. We were just coming off a 20-year period of rising interest rates. Hard to believe that Treasury yields got up to almost 16%. The Fed funds rate was at 21%. And during that entire two decades, if you were a bond investor, you lost money, because over that same period of two decades, interest rates went up almost every single year, which meant you were losing money. So in a rising interest rate market as we have now, and in the middle of a Fed rate raising cycle, you are going to get hurt by owning bond funds and bond ETFs. So if you think you're protecting yourself by diversifying into bond funds, let's say diversify away from some of the risk of owning stocks, it's not working. You're losing money. It didn't work in February. It didn't work in this latest downturn. And it's unlikely to work in the future, especially as rates continue to climb.
Well, and one scenario, Jim, that I think causes anxiety for some, what do listeners do when they're liquidating a certain amount of their fund holdings each month to live on? For example, like the 4% rule, where you liquidate 4% of your portfolio to live on each year. That's a widely used strategy advocated by advisors. But what do you do when you're liquidating that amount and you've got the kind of volatility we're seeing?
Well, yeah, you can lose a lot of money. I mean, the 4% rule, for our listeners, you've probably heard us talk a lot about this. The idea is, let's say, let's just give an example. You retire, your life expectancy for both you and your spouse are roughly about 20 to 25 years. So the 4% rule came into play. If you had, for example, $100,000 and you pulled out 4% every single year, that money would last you for 25 years. So that's where it came in to play. I don't believe that is working. The last thing you want to be doing is liquidating shares every single month when stock and bond prices are falling. Can you imagine if you were on the 4% rule in 2007 and you were liquidating 4% of your shares to live on every single month? What happened to those share prices between 2007 and, let's say, March of 2009, when the S&P 500 lost 58%? We refer to this often as what we call sequence risk. It is the surest way to end up broke or in the poorhouse in your later years of retirement. You would be better off having, let's say, a year or two worth of cash in the bank that you can live on and draw on during a bear market, rather than liquidate shares that are falling 20% every year. Just think of the last bear market, as I mentioned, where prices fell close to 60%. Or think of what happened between 2000 and 2002, when the tech bubble burst, the S&P lost 50%, the NASDAQ lost 70%. Do you really want to be selling shares every single month to liquidate and live on when markets are falling 20% a year? We have seen stocks fall 12% in just 6 days. Think back to February of this year. And when markets give back all the gains of the year, as we just did in the last few weeks, you don't want to be a seller, because once you sell those shares, how are you going to make that money back when you have fewer shares left in your portfolio? Because you just liquidated a bunch of shares to live on. So that's one of the problems of this 4% rule. It doesn't work very well and can be very devastating in terms of sequence risk, especially you do not, and I repeat that, you do not want to go through this at the beginning if you're just starting out and you just retired.
And by the way, October 30th, we did a rerun for a popular podcast from Lawrence Kotlikoff. The title was "The Rules for Retirement Planning Have Completely Changed." And I do want to encourage listeners to listen to that show just to get more information, more confidence about what they may want to consider in factoring and how retirement dollars can really last. Also, I wanted to ask you, Jim, with you answering that question about the 4%, what about stocks? What should be done there? Given the volatility, should people be buying, selling, holding, or should they jump out the window?
Well, what we're seeing right now is a correction. And if you listen to the weekend show where I had John Roque on, up until, if you take a look at this bull market, it has really been a bull market in the U.S. The U.S. has outperformed all the other indexes, whether you're looking at the European stocks, looking at Asia stocks, as John Roque talked about. Now that trouble is starting to show up on our shores. So right now, I believe what we're seeing is a correction and part of a topping process in the market, because market peaks, and when we head into a bear market, it doesn't happen in one day. You're not going to wake up one day on a Monday and you're going to say, okay, that was the peak. That was the top of the market. You don't know that. Did anybody really know the first week of October when we were hitting all-time records that the next 3 weeks we were going to give all of it back? So we're likely to see a rally back up into the year end as stock buybacks kick in after earnings season, and we pass by the midterm election uncertainty and we put that behind us. That'll happen next Tuesday, so we'll know what'll happen in Congress. Will the Democrats retake the House? Will the Republicans gain seats in the Senate? So you have basically gridlock. But it's also going to be some uncertainty because, let's say the Democrats retake the House, they're going to have a different agenda, especially gearing towards the 2020 presidential elections. But when the rally takes prices higher, you should think about de-risking your portfolio. We never recommend getting out of stocks completely, especially if you own, for example, blue chip dividend stocks like those featured in the Dow, or some of the top S&P 500 stocks that pay healthy dividends. And I'm talking about the companies in the Dow, things like Coca-Cola, Procter & Gamble, and Exxon. And I want to share a story here. I had a gentleman came in our office in 2009, quite shaken up as most people were. He had lost nearly 40% of his investment portfolio during the downturn, as many people did. And after losing 40% of his portfolio, he was fearful. Everybody in 2009, and in fact, all the way up to almost 2012, because remember, in 2011, we had Fukushima, the Arab Spring, oil prices jumped to $100 a barrel, U.S. debt was downgraded, the pig crisis in Europe, and stocks were down another 15, 18%. But in 2009, I said, look, the only way you're going to recoup from what you lost is you're going to have to get into the market. We will diversify. We'll get into blue chip stocks because the dividend yields back then were very rich. It was very easy to get 4, 5, and even 6%. And we're going to go into bonds so that we will stabilize your portfolio. So we went 60% in individual bonds, 40% in blue chip stocks. And that was 2009. 2010, he's happy as a clam because his portfolio is coming back. But then we went through 2011 and we had a crisis that was going on. I said, hold on, your account is still up from where you started. It hasn't gone down that much because of the diversification and the blue chip stocks. And so we went through 2011 And that period is, of course, we know what happened after that, 2012, all the way to where we are now, the markets went up several hundred percent. But worry is we have now begun to shift in the opposite direction. We're shifting more towards short-term bonds. We're keeping some of those high dividend stocks because there's nice capital gains in them. And, you know, when you have large capital gains, I guarantee you a correction when you sell. It's called taxes. depending on your tax bracket, you're going to pay 23.8% to the federal government for capital gains. And if you live in California, depending on your bracket, you can pay 9.3% to 13.3%. So, you know, you can experience a bear market just in taxes that could be as much as 37%. So that is what we are doing right now, Chris. We're going into shorter term securities, and we like what we're seeing in the opportunities that we're seeing not only in short-term securities, but also in sort of defensive-type dividend-paying stocks.
Well, there's several important things we've discussed on this show. I just want to sum these nuggets down to seven. And the first of those is that it's time to think defensively here, not offense, but defense. The second is to have a plan to de-risk your portfolio. And then number three, consider individual short-term bonds versus bond funds or ETFs, which are losing money. And number four, if you are on the 4% liquidation plan that I mentioned a moment ago, think about stopping the liquidation of shares, which are falling, and rather build up cash reserves to live off of during a market downturn and what will eventually be a bear market for stocks and bonds. And then number five, if you do own blue chip dividend paying stocks with a good track record of paying dividends, hold on to those, as long as you're not all in stocks. Number six, if you are down right now in your stock funds, wait until the next rally up and think about taking some money off the table. And finally, watch for opportunities in individual bonds as the Fed raises individual rates, but keep your maturity short term where the yields will be, also to protect capital.
And here's the good news, is this is no longer what we call a TINA market. If you looked back in 2011, when the market lost double digits, it ended up the year flat. If you look back to 2016, in the first 6 weeks of the year, when the market fell every single week, there really wasn't an alternative, nor was there an alternative in 2008. In 2008, money market funds were breaking the buck. The Fed had to bail them out. If you looked at the commercial paper market, it froze and didn't operate for several weeks until the Fed had to backstop it. I don't care where you looked in the stock market, stocks were going down. Here and globally, of every kind of index, whether it was the Dow, the S&P, the Russell 2000, and emerging markets, European stocks, all of that was going down. If you were in corporate bonds, you were losing money. If you were in emerging market bonds, you were losing money. If you were in precious metals and commodities, you were losing money. Going back in the corrections, the biggest correction was probably 2011, although we had another major correction in 2016. But that is no longer the case. You no longer have zero options. Unlike 2008, when money market funds paid 0%, and broke the buck when commercial paper markets froze and had to be bailed out by the Fed, and when most of the banks were insolvent. And you think about it, the government had to put up trillions of dollars to bail out the banking system to shore them up. The banks are stronger today, and interest rates are no longer at zero. So, Chris, the defensive investor has plenty of options to protect income and capital.
So I mentioned, Jim, we brought up some important issues, and if listeners do want to de-risk their portfolios and protect their income and capital, how can they talk to a Financial Sense advisor to do so?
Well, we have a toll-free number that's 888-486-3939, and we also have a special risk program that we offer free if you want to take a look at the risk. What this does, Chris, it does two things. You go through a questionnaire and it assesses your risk tolerance and that of your spouse. And it comes up with a number from 1 to 10. And I might say, okay, you and your wife have a risk tolerance of 4, but then it analyzes your portfolio and it says, you guys have a risk tolerance of 4, but you have a portfolio of risk at 7 or 8. And then it also does it quantitatively and puts it into numbers. It takes a look at market metrics and says, this is what the upside portfolio. Let's say you have a $100,000 portfolio, let's say, and let's just make this easy. The program goes through and it says, given where the markets are, the metrics of the market, your upside on this portfolio is 10%. So 10,000 on a $100,000 portfolio. But it also puts in numerical numbers what your downside risk is given market metrics, and your downside might be 30 to 40,000. So what it does is it takes a look and puts reality before you and say, look, you guys are low risk investors, but you have a high risk portfolio, or at least it's higher than where you are personally. And more importantly, are you willing to risk trying to make 10,000 versus losing 30 to 40,000? And that's what we would begin that discussion with. And we would offer that free to those who are interested. So once again, that number is 888-486-3939.
Thank you, Jim. And I also want to remind our listeners, please tune in tomorrow on the Lifetime Income Show, where we'll have Jamie Hopkins. He's the co-director of the New York Life Center for Retirement Income. He's also a professor in the Retirement Income Program at the American College of Financial Services. He's a regular contributor for Forbes, Investment News, on the issue of retirement income planning. And he's also been featured on Wall Street Journal podcasts, NPR radio, etc. Of course, the pinnacle of his financial career being featured on Financial Sense Lifetime Income Show, November the 6th. Again, that's tomorrow's show.
All right. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.